The defense objection is that the state is not, and because of a new law, the state does not have to disclose a lot of what it goes through and who it uses in the process of obtaining the drug. What is the argument there?
Well, that's a separate constitutional challenge, and I think it's a clear challenge. What's happened is the General Assembly, they passed a law, and they said, look...
It was just this past spring.
Right. It was very recent. And they said, we're not going to allow people access to this type of information. We're not going to tell you how we get the drug. We're not going to tell you who makes it. And unfortunately, for people like Mr. Hill, they need that information to successfully mount a constitutional challenge.
But there certainly is a legitimate concern for pharmacies, for instance, who might not want that information out because of the effect it might have on their business or because of threats they might get, those sorts of things. There are legitimate concerns,
well,
are there
sure,
not?
Well, sure, but you can still keep that information confidential, but let a court have access to it. The court should be able to compel production of that information, and this law tries to prevent that.
So now they go to court, and Judge Gail Tucson says, we're going to have a longer hearing on this. Basically, she's holding up the execution for a few days so she can hear more about the defense objections, right?
That's right, and ultimately make a ruling on, number one, is this law constitutional? Can we keep this information from the court? And number two, does the defense present a legitimate argument for the Eighth Amendment challenge?
So this could only, it's possible, this could delay the execution only by a few days, right?
That's right. I think the judge anticipates that she'll have her ruling within a few days at the next hearing.
Now, the defense also has some petitions before the U.S. Supreme Court. Are they affected in any way by all of this, or is this a two-track process we have going?
It's a two-track process, and either one of these appeals could stop the execution.
Now, in going before the Supreme Court, is the defense arguing over the drug, or are they back where we were at the beginning, which is the state's burden of proof on the defense to show that Mr. Hill is mentally disabled and should not be executed?
Well, they're back to that argument, but they're not so much arguing the burden of proof any longer. They're now arguing that, look, even under George's burden of proof, we have evidence now that he is mentally challenged. He is mentally retarded. So they want an opportunity to present this new testimony in court.
Is this the doctors who had initially examined him and said he was competent and have now said, look, we didn't have all the information and we believe now that he was mentally disabled?
That's exactly what they're trying to do.
And the Supreme Court doesn't even have to hear this, does it?
No, they do not. They've already heard Mr. Hill's appeal. He's already gone through all of the normal appeals that you would go through in a death penalty case. This is exceptional. But if you remember the Troy Davis case, it's not unprecedented for the U.S. Supreme Court to say, look, there's new evidence here. It may make a difference. Let's send it back down for an evidentiary hearing.
And we should note here that Warren Lee Hill Jr. was found guilty of the murder of a fellow inmate. He was already in prison at the time.
That's right. It's his second crime.
Our legal analyst, Paige Pate. Of course, we will continue to follow this. Paige Pate is a criminal defense attorney here in Atlanta. Paige, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dennis. Enjoyed it.